are now listening to the CRC Discover Life podcast, brought to you by Pastor Adboso. We trust that this message will change your life forever.
And of course, our television audience, we welcome you right here from Tshwane, the capital of South Africa. Give them a big God bless you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, look at the person next to you and say, look what the Lord has done. I hope you all had an excellent week. I said, I hope you all had an excellent week. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 5, as I continue today in this place, talking about being an imitator of God. Imitators of God. Ephesians 5 verse 1, the Bible says, watch what God does, and then you do it, like children who learn proper behavior from their parents. We're talking about being imitators of our God, this incredible God that created the heavens and the earth. Say a good amen this morning. We saw last week that God is an excellent God. Everything God does is excellent. Everything God does is extremely good, is high grade, is superb, is magnificent, is superior, is top notch. So I want to continue today to talk to you about imitating this amazing God that we have. In Proverbs chapter 22 verse 29, the Bible says, do you see a man who excels in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before unknown men. So we want to talk about how God created everything out of nothing. How you can create something beautiful out of the chaos in your life in Jesus' name. In Genesis chapter 1 verse 1, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. There's a lot of darkness in our world, maybe a lot of darkness in your world, a lot of chaos in our world today. But I want you to know God knows how to get rid of the chaos. God knows how to get rid of the darkness in your life. Say a good amen in Jesus' name. Verse number 3, the Bible says, then God said, everybody say, then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness, and called the day the light day, and the darkness he called night. Then God said, everybody say, God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Thus God made the firmament, meaning this is how. How did God do it? God said. I want to talk to you about the impact and the power of your words in your world. Your words matter. I said your words matter. Just watch people today and see what they say, and see how careless people are with their words, and you understand why people have so much chaos in their lives today, because they disregard the power and the importance of their words. The Bible says in verse number 9, then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And verse 10 says, God called. Second part of verse 10 says, and God saw that it was good. Verse number 12, 11, the Bible says, then God said. Somebody say, then God said. Let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb yield seed, and the fruit trees that yield fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself, and the earth, and it was so. Verse 13, so the evening and the morning, it was the third day. Verse number 14, then God said. Somebody say, God said. God said, and it was so. Verse number 18, to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness, and God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning, the fourth day, then God said, somebody say, God said, let the waters abound with abundance of living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth across the face of a firmament of the heavens. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves. The word so means this is how God created. This is how God created. How did God create something beautiful out of something chaotic, out of darkness in the world? God said. God said it, then God called it, then God saw it. You better believe that what you call your wife and what you call the economy and what you call this nation matters. More than ever, we need people that believe in a greater future. We need people who are committed to speak words of life and not words of death in Jesus' name. Shout amen if you believe it today. Verse number 26, the Bible says, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Image means we are there to imitate God, and according to our likeness is we are to be like God in the world. So if God created everything out of nothing by the power of his words, you better believe that your words are powerful. You were created in God's image. Every time you open your mouth, life and death comes out of your mouth. What you say about your future really matters. You frame your world by the words of your mouth. The Bible says we were created in the image of God, in the likeness of God. That means we are little creative beings. We can speak a blessing or we can speak a curse. We can speak words that are positive or we can choose to speak words that are negative. I don't think God wakes up, not that God ever sleeps, in heaven and God says to Michael and Gabriel, oh, I don't know what we're going to do in South Africa. How many of you know that God is still the same yesterday, today and forever, that there is nothing God cannot do, that God has the solution to every challenge that you may face. So throughout this chapter, we see that God said, then God saw. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3, the Bible says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. So everything we see were created by the word of God, by God speaking. I mean, God had a vision of a great future and a great world. The Bible says it was dark and there was chaos in this world. So God said. God did not go around and say, oh, how great the darkness. Oh, how great the challenges in South Africa. Oh, how great the mountains. No, God spoke the solution. God said, let there be light, and there was light. You can't go around and talk about your death and your doubts. You can't go around and voice your troubles and your concerns. You can't go around and talk about your sickness and your disease. You have to put God's word in your mouth, and you have to say, let there be light, let there be healing, let there be peace in the name of Jesus. Somebody say amen in this place. God called everything into being. We were created in this world to create new worlds by being like our God, by calling what is not as though they were. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3, the Bible says, Jesus is the express image of the glory of God, and he upholds all things by the power of his word. I want you to know this morning, you literally uphold your life by the power of your word. Now, I'm just not saying you should just say right things, but that's where it begins. With the words of your mouth, you empower your life for failure or success. With your words, you bless your life or you curse your life. It works for safe people and it works for unsafe people. I remember I was working at a company and I had a boss who knew how to talk to money. I mean, he was a very affluent man. He was a very, very wealthy man. Every day he would get up and he would say, money, 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 money. Money comes to me. Lots and lots and lots of money. And guess what? Money came with sorrow, okay? There is life in your tongue. There is power in your tongue. Your tongue is created in the image of God. You were created in the image of God to be like God in this world, to speak over your future, to imitate your father, to call what is not as though it is, to speak words of life. You watch people who become careless with their lives, with their tongues, and you watch how their lives begin to unravel. The Bible says in Proverbs 13 verse 3, he who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips will have destruction. I've told this story before, but I'll tell it again because it's my story. This lady that was in a friend of mine's church, a little church, and very often if you have a little church, you always have a person like this lady. She's always there for counseling. It seems that her problems never disappear. So after the service, she was there with the pastor. In the week, she was there with the pastor. And every time she told her story, the same sad, sorry story. I think one day the pastor plucked up courage. And as she came for counseling again, he said to her sister, whatever her name was, Sister Suzanne. I hope there's no Suzanne's here this morning, okay. And he said, Sister Suzanne, open your mouth. Okay, Sister Betty. Sister Cook sister. Okay. Whatever. Okay. So I have to amuse myself with what's going up here, on up here. He said, sister, he said, open your mouth. She said, why, Pastor? Well, she thought he was going to pray for her. He said, stick out your tongue. And as she stuck out her tongue, he grabbed her tongue and he said, here's your problem. Okay. And guess what? He never saw her again. I think he offended her, but she got the point. She got the point that if you do not get control of your tongue, you will not have control of your life. If you do not watch what you say, you will reap havoc in your life. You have to control what you say. You have to be an imitator of God. God doesn't just speak careless words. God never speaks words of death. God in the heavens this morning, they're not sitting in heaven this morning and say, oh, I don't know what we're going to eat up here. Or somebody wakes up in heaven, one of the angels, and say, I really have a headache, or go with a sneezes, or I'm tired. Oh, it's a terrible week lying ahead of me. No, the Bible says, let the weak say, I am strong in the name of Jesus Christ. Let those who trust God believe that they have a future. Rather than saying what you cannot do, begin to say what you can do. Rather than voicing your concerns, begin to voice your faith in the name of Jesus. Come on. Rather than saying who you are not, begin to say who you are. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. I am blessed. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, come on. I'm the head. I'm not the tail. I'm above. I'm not beneath. I'm going to be the top dog in that company, in that sports team. I'm going to be top notch in Jesus' name. Somebody shout, hoof, hoof, or anything. Your words. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 10, the Bible says, for he who would love life and see many good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. You better believe that your words profoundly affect your life. Your immediate life, your garden where you have the authority, your marriage, your children, your business, your career. Your words carry weight. And they're either going to be words of uncertainty or they're going to be words of faith. We don't have to look at the government. Jesus came 2,000 years ago. He already 2,000 years ago made provision for your future. Can you say amen? He died so that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Proverbs 6 verse 2 says, you are snared by the words of your mouth. So I want to tell you, in this country, they're going to find the perfect solution for land reform. I'm going to tell you, those who are farming will farm, and there's going to be more farmers, and there's going to be peace in South Africa, and there's going to be harmony in South Africa, and there's going to be a prosperous economy in South Africa, and my children and your children and your great-great-grandchildren will have a future in South Africa, and the whitest of the white will have a future in South Africa, because God said, I know the thoughts I have for you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. We are not going to agree with a naysayer. We are not going to agree with a prophet of doom. We are not going to agree with the haters. We declare the word of God. South Africa is blessed. Righteousness exalts a nation. Our leaders will be righteous. This country is blessed. Blessed, 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 blessed in Jesus' name. Shout God, South Africa is blessed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I'm going to go through life and listen to Mama Mia or whoever. My future is secure. My future is in the Word. God said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. So the Bible says, or your words empower you to fail or succeed. So you have to go from I cannot to I can, from I am not to I am, from I don't see to I actually see. Your faith is released by your words. You literally uphold your entire life by the power of your words. I mean, listen to people how they talk, because, you know, I can't see how I'm ever going to have a future. I don't know how I'm ever going to get the degree. Well, what about favor? A lady came to me yesterday in the gym and she says to me, Pastor, for every young person that wants to leave South Africa and go study medicine, I have found a way. I said, I've also found a way. Come on. His way, we have found a way in South Africa. His name is Jesus. Come on. God is going to make a way. God is going to give you favor. God is going to give you a future. Oh, come on. I need a young person in this place to say amen and give the Lord a praise in Jesus' name. People are so careless about their words. How they talk about the future, how they speak about the economy. And the sad thing is, when people in authority begin to speak death, then those words carry weight. God says in Jeremiah 29:11, I know the thoughts I think toward you. thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. You have to get all death and all doubt out of your tongue. You have to get all negativity out of your tongue. You have to choose to be an imitator of God, not an imitator of an angry young person or an imitator of somebody that's lost the way. A lot of people who imitate man. We're not called to imitate man. We are God's children. Whether we're black or white, yellow, pink, Asian, it doesn't matter. We are God's children. And we are created by God. There's no inferior human being. Everybody is created equal before God with the same ability. Now, everybody doesn't have the same opportunities and everybody doesn't have the same starting point. But we can all finish strong. We can all choose to be strong. Think about the nation of Israel that had 430 years of slavery imposed upon them. They were slaves in the land of Egypt, 430 years. So, I mean, you grew up and your dad was a brickmaker. His dad was a brickmaker. His dad was a brickmaker. And yet God comes to Moses and God says to Moses, I'm delivering you from the land of bondage and I'm putting you into the promised land. A land where you will have houses that you did not build. God promises them the good land. And then we know the story in Numbers chapter 13, how God sent them to spy out the promised land. And God says to them, go see the land. See whether it's rich or poor. Be of good courage. See the future that I've planned for you. And we know they came back and they could not see the land that God had for them. Rather than seeing the milk and the honey, they saw the giants. Rather than seeing the possibilities, they saw the problems. They could not see. Let me tell you something, my dear friend. There will always be giants. There will always be obstacles. There will always be things to overcome. If it's not this, it's going to be something else. But if we are going to possess the dream that God has for us, we are going to have to overcome obstacles. We are going to have to overcome uncertainties. We are going to have to keep our eyes upon God and declare the word of God. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 19, the Bible says, so we see they could not inherit the land because of unbelief. Oh, they came back and rather than saying what God said, they voiced their unbelief. Oh, I don't see a future in South Africa. I'll pick on South Africa now because there's more young people leaving our country now than before 94. It's like many people have lost hope. Why? Because some people have said some things, but God has not changed his mind. We don't agree with uncertainties. We don't agree with the devil. We agree with what God says. That God says, I know the thoughts I have for a beautiful future. But these Israelites never got it. They never changed their minds. They never held on to a good confession. They never agreed with what God said. And throughout the wilderness, they complained to Moses again and again and again. And they said, why did you not leave us in the wilderness? It was better in the old days. Can you think about that? That they thought that the days of bondage was better and God had something better for them. But they just never could see what God had in mind. Like sadly in our nation, so many people, they still talk 25 years ago. And others remind us of 25 years ago. How long will we have a conversation about the past? When will we start the conversation about the future and about tomorrow and about a better South Africa, about a new South Africa? How long will we go back if God is calling us forward? Sure, we have to address injustices, but we can't camp there every single year. Camp. God wants to bless this country. God wants to bring prosperity to this country, but it's not going to happen where there's division and disunity. So everybody has to imitate God. And may I remind you that word in the scripture in Ephesians 5 verse 1, the Bible says, be imitators of God and walk in love. Meaning that love thinketh no evil, seeks not his own. That doesn't mean we just roll over. It means that whatever we do is motivated and fueled by love. That we actually want jobs for everybody. We want poverty alleviated throughout the whole of South Africa. We want the giant of unemployment to come down. Come on. So when these giants come, we don't put our tail between our legs and run away like King Saul. We are a David generation. Come on. We are the men and the women of God who will stand up at this time and take this giant head on with the word of God and cut his head off and bring peace and prosperity to South Africa in the name of Jesus. Can you say a good amen? Come on, somebody give the Lord a praise. So the Bible says in Numbers chapter 14, God's talking to Moses. He says, how long will I bear with this evil congregation since they complain against me? I mean, God says, I'm giving you an opportunity. They talk about the lack of opportunity. And listen to what God says in verse number 22. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you've spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. I mean, this is the same God of love, the same God of mercy. A God who says to his people, I only have the best in mind for you. I want to take you from where you are into a beautiful land. And as they were journeying in that, towards that land, everything but God's promise came out of their mouths. I don't think we're ever going to make it. We saw the giants and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in theirs. We be not able. Joshua and Caleb says, we be well able. Paul the apostle teaches us to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But these people have a negative report. And God says, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do with you. We can't have a negative report in South Africa. We can't have Christians all over South Africa. All they talk about is the negativity, the doom and the gloom. We have to begin to declare and voice the promises of God over South Africa, the peace of God over South Africa, the blessing of God. Oh, come on, can I have a witness in this place today? A Christian who agrees with me today. Being an imitator of God, not an imitator of my fear. Proverbs 18:21, the Bible says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat the fruit thereof. Every time you open your mouth, you are creating. You say, Pastor, but I don't want to create, or I don't think it works. Well, you are creating God's image, whether you are saved or not. Every time you open your mouth, you are creating in your world. Every time you open your mouth, there is life and death. There is blessing and cursing. Closing in Mark chapter 11, Jesus teaching us a lesson on how to speak the word of God. In verse number 12, the Bible says, the next day when he had come out of Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season of figs. In response, Jesus said, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. I mean, there Jesus is like my mother talking to a tree. And the tree responded. Have you seen when you talk to people positively how they respond? Have you seen when you may be having an off day and you say, I feel good, how you change? When you, rather than say, oh, it's Sunday, I have to go to church again, you get up in the morning and you say, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of God. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Come on, somebody that is glad to be in the house of God today, shout a good amen right at the top. I see you up there, right in the darkness, because the darkness and the light are both alike. Amen. So Jesus talks to a tree. The next day, verse 20, the Bible says, in the morning as he passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. First the root, then the fruit. What was the problem? Jesus spoke. Jesus spoke over the future of the tree. Said, no one eats fruit of you ever again. Meaning he cursed. He didn't go call a witch doctor to curse. It was his own words that affected his marriage. Not that Jesus was married, that affects the business. His own words. Amen. I mean, we all face challenges. We all, but when we face our challenges, we have to hold on to our confession of faith. Hebrews 10:23. We have to hold fast to our profession of faith and not become like the Israelites who murmured and complained. We have to hold on to a good confession, a positive confession. Why do you think the second time the Israelites went and to possess the promised land when they came to Jericho, God said, for 7 days, you will not make a sound. You will not say a single word. Why? Because previously they spoke themselves out of the miracle. They stopped God's intended will by speaking negative. Zechariah, when he was old, when God came and said, your wife will have a child, and he debated with the angel, God said, okay, you'll be silent till the child is born. Why? I mean, God's not into punishing people, but God is into his word being performed. So sometimes the best thing you can do is to say nothing. You have to be silent sometimes because there's a miracle in progress. If you can't speak life, then shut up. Don't say anything. Because every time you open your mouth, there is life and death in the power of your tongue. Speak words of life. Well, I don't feel. Let the weak say. Well, I don't see. Then you'll never see. Well, if I see, I'll believe it. Then you'll never see it. You have to believe it, then you'll see it. God believed in the beginning, then God said, then God saw. Whatever you say, believing, you will see. Oh, my marriage is in trouble. You go to every counselor, my marriage is in trouble. Your marriage trouble are growing. Hey, man. I mean, when we talk about confession, and you go to the doctor, and the doctor says, we found a problem in your toe. It's not the doctor lying. The doctor is telling you the fact. So when we talk about calling things that be not as though they were, it doesn't mean that you go around and say, I don't have a pain in my toe. No. It means that you go around and say, but the doctor said there's a pain in my toe, but I believe what God said. By Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. Hallelujah. My toe is getting better in Jesus' name. You take your medicine the doctor gives you, and you use the word of God. Psalm 107 verse 20, he sent his word and he healed them. But you cannot be a silent Christian. I mean, God created this whole beautiful world that we see today, 6 days. And God said, he created this whole world out of nothing. Think about it. You may have nothing. You may have no job, but you have creative power. Rather than speaking the statistics of unemployment, that 27% unemployment, you need to say, Father, I'm not part of those statistics. You will give me a job. You are Jehovah Jireh. You are my provider, Father. I thank you for a great job. I thank you for many opportunities. I thank you that your hand is upon me. I thank you for open doors in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You need to believe God and declare your faith in Jesus' name. And not voice your concerns. Well, brother, I don't know what's happening. You know, there's a downward trend. Things are declining. Things, blah, 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 blah. You're going to talk yourself deeper in the hole. You better get a hold of your mind. We're going to talk about God's thoughts next week. You better get a hold of your mind, and then you better get a hold of your mouth. You better get a hold of your mouth. You better get a hold of your mouth. And if you agree with somebody, you better call that somebody God. I mean, I also watch media. I also watch news, etc. I don't agree with... I know certain things are happening and should happen, and I'm not unrealistic. But there's a way. I've sat with politicians. I had one of the political leaders, I'm seeing him this week, phone me this week. People, they say, Pastor, we don't even know what to do. Hello? I mean, we can't sit on the sideline and criticize. We have to engage. Not with a little a cross, you're going to hell. Because somehow God has the perfect plan. But that plan will not manifest while we imitate our culture, our anger, our tradition, our resentment, our fear. That plan will unfold when we begin to imitate our Heavenly Father. We imitate God. Be imitators of God. So, I mean, if a political leader is not imitating God, I ain't following you, Jackie. Jack. Now I've got three amens. I'm losing half the crowd. That's fine, because somebody has to talk to you, because you have to think. You have to think. You have to think. And if you're going to shout, shout the right thing. My people perish for what? Lack of knowledge. Not lack of anointing. Lack of knowledge. So you want things to change in your world? Then begin to become a believer. Put the word of God in your mouth. Psalm 45 verse 1 says, the tongue of man is just the hand of a ready writer. You write your future with your tongue. So Jesus talks about the future of the fig tree. He says, no one eats fruit of you ever again. The disciples come by the next day. Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed has withered away. And Jesus answered and said to him, have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith, literally. Now he's going to teach a little lesson on how God's faith operates. How does God's faith operate? Well, everything is created by faith. How does the faith of God operate? Have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith? Have the God kind of faith. For verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe the things he says will come to pass, he will have whatsoever he saith. Whoever. Everybody's qualified there. Nobody's disqualified. Whoever. Age. Male or female. Gender. Background. Whoever. says to this mountain, the problem, the storm, the circumstance, the situation, the lack, whoever says to the mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, does not doubt in his heart, but he believes the things he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. God said, then God saw. God said, believing, then God saw. Whatever you say, believing, you will see in your life, positive or negative. If you believe it today, give the Lord a praise. Say amen. So we can all go through life questioning things, or we can go through life imitating God. We can talk to the lack in our lives. We can talk to the despair, the disease. Lay your hand on your physical body and say, Father, I thank you. When my wife goes for this treatment, that thank you for your blessing on the medicine. Thank you that you use the medicine to bring healing to my wife's body. But I want you to know, Father, my eyes are upon you. I thank you that she will live and she will not die. I speak the word of God. Speak the word of God. Oh, come on, family. You know what I'm saying is the truth. You have to hold on to a good confession, believing. You have to hold on to a good confession, believing. Because whatever you say, believing, you will see eventually. Whatever you say, believing. Money, 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 money. Well, I never get money. Nothing ever good happens to me. I'll never be able to afford to go on holiday. Nobody will ever marry me. I don't agree with that one. Okay. It's just like people are careless with their words. Life and death is in the power of your tongue. Be imitators of God. When you're going through difficult times, when Satan attacks you, you better watch what you say. Don't go around voicing your trouble, voicing your concern. You better settle it with God in the privacy of your prayer room. Make up your mind what you believe, and then come out of that bedroom and say, it is well. Come on, like that Syrophoenician woman. It is well. I declare it over South Africa. It is well in Jesus' name. I declare it over every person in this place. It is well in Jesus' name. I declare it over every physical body in this place. It is well in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I declare that you will live and you will not die, that you will go over and you will not go under, that you will be above only and you will not be beneath. You will be the head and you will not be the tail. I declare that even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you will fear no evil, for the Lord himself will comfort you. The Lord himself will guide you. I declare that he is your refuge, your fortress, your God. In him you will trust. He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He will go before you in Jesus' name. He will make a way where there seems to be no way. He will deliver you in the appointed time in the name of Jesus. I declare goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. If you believe it today, give the Lord a praise in faith in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, give him a praise a little bit longer. Come on. Come on, while you praise the Lord there in Bloemfontein, you're in Pretoria. Shout something good. Shout something good. Shout something good. I'm blessed. I'm highly favored. I'm increasing. I'm righteous. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I mean, we live by the power of our confession. We uphold our lives by the power of our confession. We build our lives by the words of our mouth. Life and death. The power of your tongue. Sit down, thank you. So don't agree with every naysayer and don't agree with every other person. Respect people, but run your race. And sometimes people come to church and they see people getting saved, masses of people getting saved every week, and they say, it can't be as easy as that. It's all emotional decisions. You can't just believe and get saved. Well, why not? What do you want to do? You want to crawl from the parking lot? You want to go take a stick and hit yourself over the head to be good enough for Jesus? You'll never be good enough. You'll never deserve God's love and God's favor. When you were a sinner, when you were the furthest away from God, when God wasn't on your mind, God already sent His Son Jesus to die for you. I want to tell you that God loves you so very much. And that this amazing God wants a personal relationship with you. I think one of the challenges is I'm teaching this series on being imitators of God. And if we have to ask people to write about who this God is, I think just in the front row we're going to get 10 different things. Because the way we were raised, our experiences in life, our setbacks, our tragedies, somehow we think God is to blame for everything. Our religion taught us that God is out to get you. That I had this picture for many years that when I get to heaven one day, there's going to be a big black book that God is going to open. And you know, I was afraid of God. Not reverential fear. I was just afraid of God. I was bang for die Here. So afraid that I stopped going to church. I didn't like going to church. I really didn't like going to church. I didn't. Well, don't look so pious, all of you. You were exactly the same. I was praying before the first service today and I heard a sound, and it wasn't the sound of the Lord. It was the sound of a lot of young businessmen. They were riding their supercars, about 10 of them. They were coming past the church. And I thought, that sounds like life. Amen. Not the supercar, but you know, people in the world, they're not attracted to this dead, boring, bland. Come to Jesus and just be a dead donkey. Come to Jesus and have no dreams, have no ideals, just suffer through life and expect nothing. Nothing can be further from the truth. Our God is a good God. Our God is a merciful God. Our God is a loving Father. Our God only has great thoughts about you. Our God has an amazing future planned for you. Our God is not against you. When Jesus died on the cross, His arms were open wide. He didn't die with a stick in His hand. He died with open arms. And He said, whosoever.
If this powerful message has touched your life and you'd like to give your life to Jesus, pray the following prayer with Pastor Utt.
Say, Lord Jesus, I give my life back to you. Thank you for loving me just as I am. I believe with all my heart you are the Christ. I believe you rose from the grave. I believe you are alive. Today, I open my heart and I invite you, Jesus Christ, to be my Lord and my Savior. Forgive my sin. Wash me in your blood. Give me the power to be your child. In Jesus' name, I'm home. Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more information on CRC, visit www.crc.org.za.